rather than talk about the great proletariat overthrowing the country, it doesn't happen. As a matter of fact, the reason they hate the industrialized society or the Industrial Revolution in America is because that demonstrated, the Industrial Revolution created the great mass of middle class in America, not a massive revolutionary movement to overthrow America.
Welcome to the Voices of Freedom podcast, where we sit down with the voices behind the scenes at Freedom 95. And now your host, Jeremy Butel.
Hey, thanks for listening. It is me, but it won't be me. Today, our interviewer is Todd Huff. You can hear the Todd Huff Show weekday mornings on Freedom 95, 5 to 7. Local voice. We're proud to have Todd on our airwaves. Mark Levin, who you can hear evening 6 to 9 on Freedom 95, released yet another new book this year, and Todd sat down with him to discuss the book and the state of affairs in our country and government. I think you'll enjoy this one. We thank Todd for his participation in this. It's a short episode, short but sweet. Thank you for listening.
The host of one of the most popular talk radio shows in the country, Mark Levin, is on the phone with me. Mark, it is a pleasure, sir. How are you this morning?
I'm great, Todd. How are you?
I am doing fantastic, and as I share with you offline, you've been a major influence, a positive influence on me and countless others, so I want to say thank you off the top here. Wow. I want to start by
asking you.
Oh, my pleasure. Yeah. Can you start by explaining this insidious brand of Marxism that we're seeing in America today?
Yeah, I try to explain in the book that we have to come to grips with what we're confronting, because if we don't come to grips with what we're confronting, we're not going to be able to effectively defeat it. And what it is over the course of many decades, at least half a century in many of these areas, there have been movements afoot in colleges and universities, and they spread throughout the culture now, promoting what I call American Marxism. So it's not Marxism in every technical respect, but it is Marxism in every fundamental respect. And you've had tenured professors, you've had individuals come into this country from professorial positions in other countries who have had as their aim to destroy the country. Mm-hmm. And we can take critical race theory as a perfect example. That's born out of critical theory. And where does critical theory come from? It comes from a Kabbalah Marxist who formed something in Berlin called the Franklin School. And these were Marxists who thought that at the end of the Weimar Republic, the people in Germany would rise up and embrace communism. Instead, we know about the Third Reich, and they could never understand it. One of their leaders fled Germany, came to the United States. His name was Herbert Marcuse, who I discuss in the book. And this is one of many examples. And he comes to the United States. In the end, he's tenured in three different Ivy League schools. And he writes and he aggressively pushes Marxism. And he cannot come to grips with the fact that the communists didn't defeat Hitler in the rise-up of the Third Reich. And he looks at the United States. And he sees some similarities in the terms of an industrial country and, as he calls it, a democracy. And he determines in his own mind, we're not going to have the bourgeoisie rising up and overthrowing the proletariat. Instead, we need to secrete ourselves in these different institutions. So he's pushing this theory in law schools to begin with. Mm-hmm. But this is a long way of answering all the questions in regard to where does Marxism come from here. Which is this, that the laws in the United States are all unjust because the laws are made by the dominant culture. They're made by the majority. Mm-hmm. So the minority, whether they're minority in physical features, minority in viewpoints, cannot get a break. There's no justice for minorities. Big leap from there. Again, I discuss more in the book. You go to Stanford and then Harvard Law School with a guy by the name of Derrick Bell. He's a law professor. He takes that and applies it to race, that black people and other people of color in the United States can't get a break, that this is a corrupt society because the dominant culture, the white culture, makes all the laws, sets all the rules, creates all the policies, We began with slavery, and we still have, severe injustices and inequities.
Mm-hmm.
So critical race theory is born from critical theory. And so you look at that area, you look at climate change, Green New Deal, which is the latest nomenclature they've come up with,
mm-hmm.
you know, global cooling, global warming, where does that come from? It comes from the 1970s in Europe, where a large number of people got together, communists, again, trying to figure out how to take down industrial societies, particularly ours. It's actually a degrowth movement. It's a war on capitalism. It's a degrowth movement. It has nothing to do with the temperature of the earth or polar bears or clean water or anything of the kind. That's just another facade that they've created. So I go through these different, what I call American Marxist movements, and I explain the history of each one. I quote the people who are fundamentally responsible for them and try and explain their ideology. And this is the first six chapters of the book. There's only seven. And the reason I do this is, again, if you're in a military operation or political campaign or your business competing with somebody else, you need to understand what you're up against, or you're not going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I've done beyond the surface level. And then in the last chapter, I have scores of suggestions on how we confront each one.
So is what makes this, I guess, what you're calling American Marxism so attractive to some Americans, or are they – are they tricked into falling for the ruse because of it's coming in the guise of something else? Help us, I guess, understand that.
Yeah, and in the first chapter, I go through some of this psychology of this. People say, why is Marxism so attractive given its track record? Marxism is an abstraction. It's a theory. It's not reality. Mm-hmm. It gives the imagination of heaven on earth. Everybody's going to be equal with a very small government. Once the workers' paradise is established, people just need to surrender their selfishness to the commune, to the greater good. We're too focused on materialism and private property rights. And if there is a reason for your failure, people obstructing your accomplishments, it's because the system is corrupt. Now, it's that latter point that I think is the most attractive to people who are the followers of this movement, not the leaders, because many people who don't work hard, or maybe they fail a lot, or they have whatever their issues are, Marxism gives them excuse. It's not accountability. It's not personal responsibility. The system is corrupt. The system is set up against you. So you can self-identify as oppressed or self-identify as mm-hmm. a victim. That the system, it's not you, it's the system. Whereas, you know, the American system is you have freedom, you're an individual, you have free will, you have mobility, you have the ability to do whatever you want. Marxism says, no, you don't, because the system is corrupt, it's set up against you. And so the successful people who are satisfied, people who are happy, they are the oppressors. They are the victimizers.
Mm-hmm.
And so the oppressed versus oppressor attitudes. And people like to belong to groups. They like to belong to things. And so this gives them an excuse and also replaces religion with this ideology. The leaders of these movements are diabolical people. You look mm-hmm. at the leaders of Black Lives Matter. They're becoming extremely wealthy. They're not in the yeah. ghettos and inner cities pushing for school choice or anything else. They're just interested in overthrowing the country, and they're using the veneer of race to try and do it.
So we just have a minute or so left. You mentioned in your book that Marxism, American Marxism, is ubiquitous. It's all over the place. I'm wondering if you could – is there a head? Where is this head of Marxism? Is it more complicated than that? Maybe speak to that for a moment.
Yeah, it is. This is the complexity and daunting nature of what we confront. This isn't a single Marxist. There's the party. That's their headquarters. This is the guy leading it type of thing. The American Marxist is not a movement, it's movements.
Mm-hmm.
These have spawned from Marxism. And what they do is they develop these different approaches based on what they consider imperfections or weak points in the American society. I explain this in the book, too. And that's race, the border, climate. And so it is tailored for America. So rather than talk about this great proletariat overthrowing the country, it doesn't happen. As a matter of fact, the reason they hate the industrialized society or the industrial revolution in America is because that demonstrated, no, The Industrial Revolution created the great mass of middle class in America, mm-hmm. not a massive revolutionary movement to overthrow America, which is why Marx and his progeny hate capitalism and hate the American Industrial Revolution, because it proves everything they did wrong. What's happening here? This is a top-down movement. This is a movement by so-called elites, mm-hmm. by professors, by teachers, by activists, by politicians, by media types. This isn't truck drivers and electricians and lawyers and doctors all standing up trying to promote critical race theory or undermine their economic system. And that's the way most of these so-called Marxist revolutions occur all over the world. They're not the peasantry or the middle class rising up. It is the top-down type of revolution.
Absolutely. Mark, where can folks grab your book?
Amazon.com is very reliable. They've been actually very good to us in terms of stocking the book and get it the next day. Every major retailer has it, Barnes & Noble and so forth. And if they don't, and you go in that store and they don't have it, it's in the back, because we printed hundreds of thousands of copies. We've mm-hmm. sold over 500,000. And you should tell the manager, why don't you put the book out? We're having a little bit of that, not a lot of it, but some of it.
Not surprising. Well, Mark, I know you're a busy guy. Keep up the good work. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today. And again, thank you for being so instrumental on people just like me all across this country, sir. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Todd, and God bless you and everybody in Indianapolis.
Mark, I appreciate it, my friend. God bless.
Been listening to the Voices of Freedom podcast on Freedom 95. For an audio archive, visit the podcast tab at freedom95.us.